Find the little letter, the little epistle of 1 John near the end of the Bible. And we're going to continue in our evening series through 1 John. Last time together in a most recent section that we looked at in 1 John, we started kind of a new section here where John is reminding his readers, he's teaching his readers, and he's warning and cautioning his readers concerning the dangers of the last days. And we worked in studies in the past to define what the last days are that John is identifying. And the days that we're living in and the things that he saw that were alarming. He was warning believers that he refers to as his children in a very loving way. He was warning them how to be prepared, how to identify antichrists, little a. And we looked at understanding those things. We learned last time particularly how to identify antichrists and how to know whom John is speaking of here. And in that, do you remember, I started by reminding you that there are a myriad of religious, air quotes here, religious voices in the world today, aren't there? There are many different voices that claim religious authority, that claim some sort of divine thought and message. And in many cases, we hear and see these things to be extra-biblical. In fact, anything that's not biblical would be extra-biblical. But all the different religious voices in the day, you remember how we try and decipher what is truth and what is not? I tried to help us by showing you some fish. Do you remember that? We had to try and decide between rainbow fish and salmon and king salmon and all this kind of thing. That's kind of a fun exercise. But it reminded us how easy it can be to confuse truth with error if we don't know what we're looking for, if we don't know what truth is. And so it's important for us to consider these things. And one of the ways that we're able to identify error from truth or vice versa is by asking two questions. Do you remember what those questions were? I'll remind you. The first question that would help decide whether or not it's a test for truth, a litmus test for truth, is this. What do you think about Christ? When one reveals what their position is on Christ, what they think about Christ, it reveals where they are. It reveals truth or error. Jesus himself exercised this, and we're going to look at that again a little bit tonight. The second question that can be asked is, what do you think about the Scriptures? What do you think about the Word of God? What is your understanding? What is your doctrine, your teaching? What's your belief of the Word of God? We just sang recently concerning the truth of the sufficiency. And as Peter reminds us, how God's Word will stand and will last. That's our understanding of the Word of God. What do you think of Christ? What do you think of the Scriptures? Those are the questions that you can ask. So last time we looked at 1 John chapter 2, and we looked at verses 18, 19, and then we skipped to 26. And we're going to come back in and now fill in the blanks to kind of fill the questions and answers that John is setting up in the teaching here. So in chapter 2, verses 18, 19, and 26, John recognizes the presence of antichrists in his day. In the church age, and this is for our day as well, for we can make the same identify the same characteristics and the same individuals today. We see this increasing in anticipation of the Lord's imminent return. And so he gives these description of them. Remember, we looked at the description of antichrists. What are antichrists? And then he gave notes on their departure. And from the angle of the spiritual departure, their physical departure, and how they left, and then he described their deception. Now, this evening, we're going to pick it up. We're going to look at verses 20 through 23, and we're going to see in these verses here that John had just mentioned the departure of the Antichrist. That's what he did in verse 19. In fact, we'll review. Look at it with me. Last time we looked at 19, it says, John says, they went out from us, speaking of the Antichrist, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. One of the deterrents to evangelism today I think one of the things that causes us to be intimidated and to maybe not be as effective in evangelism and taking even the initial step in evangelism today is fear of the knowledge of the individuals you're speaking of. What in the world do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this idea of, I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I have all the answers to the questions that they might ask. I don't know if I could answer all the theological things that they might know. There are many unsaved people that seem to have a better rote memory of the scriptures than some Christians do. And friends, that can be intimidating sometimes. It can be intimidating. They know more than I do. But the message that John encourages his children, the message that John encourages his readers, you and me, today with, tonight, is this. Even though the Antichrist, those who are against God and antagonistic against God, even though they profess great knowledge, they pervert it. True Christians know truth. True, genuine Christians know the truth. And because John's going to tell us a little bit, not only do we know it because we have it, but we have it within us. And we can cling to that. We know truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we jump into these verses. We're going to look at verse 20 and 21. And we're going to draw some conclusions here and learn from John this evening, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to study it this evening. And I pray that we would leave here not only more knowledgeable of your word, but seeking to make application, that we leave here with a better understanding of what it is you want for us. This, you give us the scriptures to impact and to change our thinking, to change our lives. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit granting us understanding and guidance here this evening. And we ask that that would happen tonight. Lord, I pray that the people here would be encouraged as I have been in looking over these verses and being reminded of this and studying this out, Lord. An incredibly encouraging message in the face of dealing with those who are against you and the increasing antagonism against you and false teaching and the lies from false religions, there is great hope in the truth that we know and that we possess as your children. So guide us tonight as we study and are encouraged in these things, Lord, please. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's begin in 20, all right? You're a little caught up to speed. So if you haven't even been through the series, you're set, you're ready to go. You've been all caught up. You say, how come it couldn't be that short when you preach it the first time, Pastor? Good question. I'll answer it some other time. All right. Christians can discern truth. Do you realize that? If you're a Christian here tonight, you have the divine ability, the divinely given ability to discern truth. We have something that unbelievers do not have. John reminds us of this. In verse 20, there's a really fun word here. I'm reading from the King James tonight. You might have another translation, that's fine. But if you're in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 20. It says, but ye have an, what's the word? An unction. I love that word. Say it three times. I love it. Unction, unction. I love it. We have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Who is John speaking to? To Christians. To you and me, the church, and he says, we have an unction. So kids, you can go home and tell your parents, I have an unction. I have an unction, all right? I love that word. Unction means, really in a simplest way, an anointing. And it's translated the same way in verse 27. It starts out the first three words there in verse 27, chapter 2. It says, but the anointing which ye have. And it's speaking of the same thing here. It's translated as anointing. In fact, the two verses are the only places in the New Testament where the word appears, where the word this unction appears. A theologian and a commentator once said this. His name is Curtis Vaughn. He writes, the term seems not to have been in common use among Christians at that time, but there were indications that it was current in heretical circles. The Gnostics, we talked about the Gnostics before and what Gnosticism is a little bit. I'll remind you a little tonight. The Gnostics, for example, claimed that they received a special anointing when they were initiated into the secrets of their cult. This anointing, they insisted, gave them enlightenment and an insight that ordinary believers did not possess. Does that sound a little alarming to you? This idea of false teachers in cults and false religions claiming, you know, oh, I've received an unction and anointing from the Lord. I have received an epiphany that you minions would have no idea about. I've received something and tell them, and you need to listen to me. If you want to hear the special message, you need to listen to me. I mentioned a few names the last time we were together, and we talked about some common day, recent, historical, well-known, because of the news, false teachers that were leading in cults and led people astray, and even to their death, leading them away from the scriptures, and how they used Christian-like language and biblical language, but they would go and grab a single text or a scripture from a passage from scripture and extrapolate it and use it and then build their own theology, false theology off of it, leading people astray. At that time, in John's time and his contemporaries and those he was writing to, these antichrists had come, remember? This is present tense for him. And they will continue to come and they exist today. And while the enemies of Christ professed superior knowledge as a result of their special anointing, John assured the believers that they truly had, as Christians, the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the sufficient knowledge of salvation. So he has believers, he has Christians that are discouraged, probably confused, and a little bit led astray by these false teachers. And John is encouraging them. He says, hey, they may say they have an anointing, but listen here, dear children. Remember, this is the language of John. In a loving, teaching way, he says, dear children, you are born-again Christians, saved by the blood of Christ, and you have a special anointing. You have the ability to discern truth and to see truth because of the ministry of the Spirit within you, because of the anointing of God in your life. You Christians, and it really is what he's saying, is your knowledge is in actuality, superior than those who claim to have superior knowledge and do not have Christ. This is what John is encouraging with. He encourages them. He continues on. He assures a believer that they truly have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and sufficient knowledge. And so John continues encouraging them, encourages Christians by reminding them that their knowledge is superior to that of false teachers. That's an encouragement, isn't it? In sort of a way, you can leave here tonight being encouraged that God's word says you're smarter. This isn't like a hold it over somebody kind of thing, you know, smack them with the Bible, you know. But hey, you know what? Enjoy that. God has opened our eyes. We have been illuminated, and through salvation and the possession of the Holy, indwelling Holy Spirit, we have the ability to understand God's word, to discern truth as we study God's word like no one else. Even those in false religions that claim to have a special anointing of God. We have an unction. Christians, we can discern truth. In fact, the word know here in verse 20, ye know all things. Look at that word there. In fact, the word this here, know, does not speak of knowledge gained through experience like the Gnostics would say. This is what the teaching of Gnosticism would teach. Knowledge is through experience. Actually, this word know, the word Gnostic, Gnosis, comes from that word. But it rather speaks of an absolute and final knowledge. That's the word that's being used here that John's using in verse 20. An absolute and final knowledge, the spiritual discernment that is given to every Christian by the Holy Spirit. Some would refer to, and rightly so, the master teacher of Christians, the Holy Spirit. We have the ability. Christians have the ability. The antichrists, those who are antagonists against God, those who are against Christ, we have the ability that they do not have to discern truth. And I want to take a moment here and make sure we understand what discernment means. Let's discern the meaning of discernment tonight. I want to make sure we're on the same page with this. Very simply, to discern means to distinguish, to separate out by diligent search, or even to examine something. Okay, that's a simple, probably a Merriam-Webster sort of a definition of discernment. But then we add another level to that when we talk about spiritual discernment. Okay, Christian discernment is the ability to properly discriminate or make spiritual determinations. To properly discriminate or make spiritual decisions. That's what it means to have and to exercise Christian discernment. Spiritual discernment is the ability to tell the difference between truth and error. And we've already learned so far, as John has reminded us, we as Christians possess that ability to discern truth from error. We are equipped with the Word of God, and we are empowered by the filling of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern truth from error. And listen, Christians, we are to be actively doing so. Actively discerning what this pastor preaches from the pulpit, what anyone else is to teach and preach. We are to be discerners of what we hear, and to be discerning in the decisions and the things and the comparisons and discriminations that we make in life. Whereas to the human mind without the Spirit, the human mind without the Holy Spirit, the things of God are, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the things of God are what? Foolishness. This is the difference with people that are in Christ and without Christ. Regenerated people and unregenerate people, saved and unsaved. Two different people in the world. There are saved and there are unsaved. And the difference that John makes is the distinction that he makes from us who have the ability, the God-given ability to be discerners, right discerners. The unsaved, the things that we can discern and understand to be truth, to them is simply foolishness. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual discernment. Amen for that. Let me look at verse 21 here. Let's continue on. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Huh. These are encouraging words. These are uplifting words for the believers that are dealing with false teachers in their world, just like we are today in our world. I praise God for the commitment that this church has. Let me just gush for a moment and thanks. I praise God that this congregation has had for years and currently has for a desire for truth, a desire to study and know God's word for themselves, a desire to be good discerners of what is truth and what is error. May that love, that passion, that desire, and that commitment never leave. We can pray for that to continue. We can pass it on to children, our children, both here and to come. So look at verse 21 here. We see Christians have the truth. This is the encouragement. John's writing to encourage his readers who had been belittled by the Gnostics, made fun of, spoken down to, and belittled by the Gnostics of the day. The Gnostics boasted of their superior knowledge. Look what I know, you little, what do you call yourselves, Christian? I have been anointed. I know something greater than you. And maybe some weaker or some new believers kind of cower at that. I don't possess that kind of knowledge. And then John writes to them, and they read, and they get to verse 20 and 21, and John writes to these belittled Christians, and they read these encouraging words. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. Oh, wait, I know something? He says, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Oh, that's right. I do know truth. What am I thinking? I do know what's right. I do know the truth. And so he's writing them to encourage them. They were belittled by the Gnostics. And he wasn't writing them to inform them of spiritual truth. There's other passages in Scripture where other writers, other apostles would do so. They would write to them to reveal spiritual truth to them. For instance, like in the Apostle Paul, in his apostolic ministry of teaching them new things, revealing mysteries to them. John's not writing them to reveal something they don't know, but he's encouraging them in something that they do know. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. He wrote to encourage them to act on the truth they knew. Don't be so discouraged by the things that you believe you don't know, that you don't know yet. Have you ever felt that way before? You visit with another Christian, you sit in there, someone's teaching, you're like, I know so little about this Bible. I feel that way a lot, actually. Confession of a pastor. There's many times I go, man, I don't know anything. This is incredible. There's so much to learn. Don't ever be ashamed of that feeling. Just turn that into studying it and getting to know it. There's no fast track to arriving and knowing God's word. In fact, nobody's going to, quote, arrive this side of heaven. You're always going to be learning. I don't care how many times, dear friend, you've read the Bible, we're always going to be learning. You ever felt that way? A little overwhelmed? So many things I don't know. Then you come to a passage like this and you're encouraged. You do know the truth. Do you know how you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know something enormous. You know something profound that many people in this world do not understand. And you have that precious privilege and responsibility to communicate the truth of the gospel to those who do not know. No matter what level of intelligence and IQ and education background they may have, you do know what is true when it comes to the gospel. Most believers today possess more truth than they give themselves credit for. I heard recently, I was listening to Pastor Chris said this in Sunday school. I was listening to a podcast recently. If you don't know what a podcast is, ask anybody under the age of about 40 tonight. They'll let you know after the service, all right? Listening to a podcast, this conversation amongst theologians, and I heard them make a reference that I believe to be true, and I've heard other indications of this. I heard recently that most unregenerate, so unsaved individuals with graduate or a graduate and above education levels are mostly biblically illiterate. I think understanding that and grasping that, if those statistics are to be true, and I believe that they err on the side of truth in this, that's a pretty realistic summation of a majority of higher education individuals that are unsaved. Oh, there's some that are unsaved that really know a lot about what the words on the paper say in the Bible, but they do not understand it. You know what I mean? But for us to grasp as believers, like John is saying, and be encouraged that, hey, we know the truth. We know the truth. Do not let the so-called knowledge level of the unsaved world be an intimidation when it comes to sharing Jesus Christ with others. Sharing what you know to be true. John makes the point that we do not need to attain more truth. Okay, the specific context here is that we do not need to, listen to this, we don't need to attain extra biblical truth in order to understand the truth as much as we need to live by the truth that we do have. Live by the truth you know. Live by the truth that you do know, that has been revealed to you, that you have learned and been shown in the scriptures. Do not forget, and to live by those truths. Secondly, verse 22 and 23, in understanding these things here this evening, the discerning truth from perversion. Okay, that's our focus tonight. And in these verses, you turn your attention now to verse 22, and we see that Christians can discern perversion. So we can discern truth. We've been given that ability. And praise God for that. And we can work and increase and harpening and honing our spiritual skill that way. But we also, as Christians, can discern perversion or error, okay, the opposite of truth. Verses 22 and 23, look at them with me, please. Chapter 2, 1 John says, "Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is a Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but, translators have added that word there in brackets and italics for understanding, he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You ever heard the old axiom or the old phrase, water and oil don't mix? You ever heard that before? Nod your head. Somebody awake tonight, right? Yeah, okay, good. You've heard that phrase before. Have you heard this before? Truth and air don't mix. If I had a glass of water up here with a glass of water and I poured some like motor oil into it, I have to put some dirty stuff in there so you'd have to see it. You know, real dark, black looking motor oil. It would separate. It doesn't mix together. I could stir it up, and it looks like, oh, it mixes pretty good. And in a few seconds, it would separate. And what is it? The oil's a little bit lighter, so it goes to the top. And the water's heavier, it's down the bottom. Truth and air, Christians, do not mix. It doesn't mix. And we can see that revealed in those who are against Christ, the simplest definition of Antichrist. We can see that when Antichrist, those who are against Christ, deny the Son of God, deny Jesus Christ. We see this in verse 22. And John says, those who deny the truth concerning the Son are, and he said this quite a bit in verse 1, he flat out calls them what they are. They're liars. Liars. Strong words here. This is John writing, and the Word of God tells us those who deny the truth concerning the Son of God are liars. The correct understanding of Christ is essential to sound doctrine. We must get our Christology correct. We must get our doctrine and understanding and discernment of the truths of Scripture that teach us about Christ. We have to get that right, and we have to understand it correctly. Jesus, you remember this, in Matthew 22 and verse 42, we pick it up in the middle of a little narrative that's going on there, and Jesus, in that portion of Scripture, Matthew 22, Jesus quieted the Pharisees of his day with the question. Remember the question I put to you that could be a litmus test of truth and error? He asked this very same question. What think ye of Christ? What's your position on Christ? The same question should be asked of all people today, because the true believer, listen to this, a genuine, born-again, redeemed believer in Jesus Christ will rejoice to speak of Jesus Christ. It will be a joy to speak of Jesus, the one who has saved me from my sin and from hell. It'll be somebody that will desire to speak of Christ, whereas, in contrast, an unbelieving heretic will be exposed in their denial of the person, the work, the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the name, Jesus is the name given of our Savior. Jesus. The name historically associated with his humanity, the incarnation of Christ, his human presence on earth during his earthly ministry, being born of a virgin on until his ascension into heaven, being known as Jesus. Whereas Christ, you ever thought of this? Christ, you have Jesus, his name that's referred to in the human understanding of his presence on earth, but then Christ is the official title which signifies his redemptive work and his mission. And as in John's day, many in our day as well acknowledge the human Jesus, but listen to this, they deny that he is the very Son of God. Many people deny that. You think about the contrast for a moment of a genuine believer being joyful talking about their Savior. And then you think of one who's possibly identified as an antichrist or unregenerate in a simplest or more generic form. And it may help you understand the level of importance, the level of seriousness that, for instance, church leadership, myself, the pastors and the deacons place on when we get the opportunity to visit with people that are interested in uniting for membership in Calvary. Uniting in a local membership. We understand in the book of Acts, it teaches us that the very basic prerequisites to church membership is salvation and water baptism, right? And so when we have the joyful opportunity to sit down with individuals, and some of you could even test, Brentley could tell us, even it's not that grueling, right? It's not that bad, right? And we sit down and we ask, do you believe in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Yes. And we go, amen. Whereas if we sit down and we have the sorrowful response of somebody, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, he was a good man. We're like, hey, we got this great class you should attend. You should come to some of the services for a while, right? Let me show you something about this great man. I agree he's a great man, but let me tell you some more about him, right? John says these people who would deny the deity of Christ, that they would, these people that would deny Jesus as being the Son of God are liars. For God's word teaches that Jesus is the Christ. Amen? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16 is an often go-to proof text concerning Jesus Christ and his deity. There's many other, I would believe, and turn to as well. To deny either the humanity or the deity of Christ, whether it's the humanity of Christ, his human existence, or the deity of Christ, which both were true, either one denied, John says, is a lie. You know, antichrists deny the Son. This is who, this is the specific people that John is referring to here. Those who deceitfully and deceptively deny Jesus Christ, seeking to lead others astray, the way of an apostate. And then those who not only deny the Son, but antichrist are, John says, lacking or void of the Father. Look at verse 23 again, or we read it. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Antichrists are lacking the Father. Dear friends, if you get nothing else, remember this, and I'm certain you know this to be true. The Godhead is inseparable. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it is inseparable. Removal of one, or even the which we cannot do, the idea of trying to teach or remove one from the other and claiming one is not, you cannot do. You cannot. Any attempt to divide and to deny one person, capital P, person in the Godhead, is to be devoid of the Father, John says. These matters are not to be taken lightly, and our understanding must be right. At that time, as well as today, but at that time, it was an epidemic of the teaching of the Gnostics and Gnosticism at the time. The Gnostics professed to believe and to even honor God. They would claim these things, but they denied that Jesus was the Christ. We have religions and cults and groups of teachings today that will claim there's a God and claim to follow God, but in the very same voice or sentence, they will say, well, Jesus is not God. Jesus is not the Christ. Today, non-Christian religions, cults, and even theological, kind of an old term, but theological liberals of the day as well, do exactly the same thing. And so John says to reject Jesus the Son is to reject God the Father. They are inseparable. Christ said this. Jesus Christ our Lord said this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Peter also affirmed the same truth in his writing, 1 Peter 1:21, as well as in Matthew 11:27. 1 Peter 1:21, he said, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Who, the beginning of the verse, who, that's believers, by him, Christ. Believers, by Christ, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead. Dear Christians, be encouraged. You know the truth. If you're a born-again believer here tonight, you know the truth. You possess the truth. And you have been given the ability, we have the ability, by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit in our lives, and by the special revelation of the Creator of the universe, His written word to us, we have the ability to discern truth from error. We must exercise regularly and rightly Christian discernment. A child of God comes to know truth by the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, permanently received from nanosecond number one of salvation. John 14, 26, the last, well, two verses, and then we'll conclude. You might look at this verse if you would. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus, we find him comforting and preparing his disciples for his departure. He's speaking to them. He's preparing them. You remember, he's teaching them something they don't quite understand. He's talking about how he must leave for the comforter to come. So the Holy Spirit might come. He needs to leave. And he's comforting them and he's preparing them. And Jesus spoke these words in 14:26 of John. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring you all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then if you go a couple chapters over to chapter 16 and verse 13 in John, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Thank the Lord with me tonight, would you? Thank the God in heaven for the ability to have, as Christians, the ability to discern truth from perversion. We don't have to walk around with our eyes blinded and a wool pull over our eyes and I just can't even tell. I would throw my hands up in the air and give up. I don't even know. Sounds good. We have the ability to discern truth from error. And we must actively do so biblically, prayerfully. Do not be intimidated by knowledge. Those that claim to have an extra biblical superior knowledge, do not be intimidated by them. For they are unable, like us, unlike us, they are unable to discern truth from error, like we have been given the ability to do. Dear friends, this doesn't mean that we know all things. It doesn't mean that we've been given some sort of ability to just have a super knowledge and there's nothing left to question. That'd be really cool. But that's not what God's word is saying. Rather, we've been given the ability to be able to discern truth. Without taking too much more time, some of the ways to go about doing that is spending time in prayer, spending time under the biblical preaching of God's word. Positioning ourselves in a place where we're learning, we're studying God's word, we're questioning, challenging, and sharpening each other. You cannot gain this truth and this discernment apart from God's word and the Spirit in our lives. Be encouraged. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the evening. Lord, thank you for the, just in the several verses here, the reminder of the ability to be discerners. I pray that this congregation, individuals in our lives, leaders in the homes, parents, all different people. Lord, I pray that when it comes to spiritual things, in addition to other things, but primarily spiritual, that we would exercise our ability to discern truth, that we would, as the Bereans did, search the scriptures daily, that we would examine what we are taught and what we are told to see if the scriptures, if it's what is truth. Help us not to be discouraged by false teachers today, to realize that they are coming, to realize that there is heretical teaching, to realize that there are those who that talk a good talk, but if it doesn't match up with Scripture, Lord, we know how to draw a line of distinction. Protect us, guard this congregation, Lord, I ask, and we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.